The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Tired, apathetic, unmotivated. These are some of the words associated with what many call work burnout. Many experiencing this burnout report a feeling of physical and emotional exhaustion. But what can be done to combat this? Well, one woman who may have the answer is joining me now, a freelance journalist, Sarah Finnan. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you for having me.
You were burnt out.
I was, unfortunately.
Explain the process, because you used to love your job.
Yes.
Every morning, anxious to get to work.
Yeah, I think it's kind of one of those things that's hard to recognise when you're in it. And kind of once you take a step back and maybe look at your symptoms, it's easier to pinpoint what it is. As you described there, it is kind of a feeling of being just very tired beyond just needing a rest, kind of totally apathetic, losing interest in things, feeling like even a rest isn't enough to kind of reset you.
So, you know, how intensively were you working? Can you think back to the causes of your burnout?
It's hard to pinpoint it exactly, but I think, as you probably know, working in media, there's a lot involved. It's not just the job. There are a lot of out-of-hours events, red carpets, launches, a lot of which isn't paid, but you're kind of expected to be there. And that is oftentimes the fun part of the job. So you push yourself to go, but suddenly you realise, oh, I've taken on too much. I think also COVID didn't help the situation. A lot of people, you know, maybe could have been furloughed or weren't working during that time, whereas I was working in a digital role, so I was very online. I was consuming media at a pace that is not normal for other people. And I think that really contributed to my feeling of burnout.
Okay, now what were the symptoms?
Yeah.
How did you change from the person you were, say, just prior to COVID and the person that you became?
Oh, it's a tough question. I would say just being extremely, extremely tired. That feeling of apathy, not really having any interest in anything, even things that you previously would have loved, kind of just doing it because you knew you had to, losing your spark a little bit. Someone told me that they felt like I'd lost my spark. And once they said that, I kind of recognized that it was true. I think not being able to be excited about things as well, just kind of feeling...
Same old, same old.
Same old, same old. Yeah, very much.
Okay, so then having diagnosed yourself that you had lost your sparkle, which another word really for burnout, what did you decide to do about it?
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure how to solve it. And as you said, I did self-diagnose, so I didn't know what the exact right thing to do was. For me, it felt like something that 2 weeks of annual leave wouldn't solve, because you kind of need to step away from your inbox. You need a complete sense of distance to kind of be able to reset. So for me, that meant leaving my job, even though I did really love it, taking a break and kind of figuring it out from there. Once I had decided to leave, then I kind of thought about, what am I going to be doing while I'm off? I don't want to just be lying around the house kind of listless. And that's when the travel idea came in. So my boyfriend also quit his job. And between the two of us, I think in the space of 2 weeks, we planned a 2 month trip. And
now,
we
tell me about the boyfriend. When you tell him I'm quitting my job because I feel like I'm a burnt out case, what did he say? Did he say also, oh yeah, Sarah, I've noticed you've lost your sparkle? Did he say that to you?
I think he was very much in the same boat, unfortunately.
He lost his sparkle too.
He had lost his sparkle too.
But you were still sparkling for each other.
Exactly, that's it. Birds of a feather. So we were kind of in the thick of it together. And when I said that I was thinking of leaving my job, he kind of jumped at the idea. And that's how the travel plans came together.
Now, where did you go?
So we went to Southeast Asia. We were very much the cliche, and we went to Vietnam, Thailand, Cambodia and Laos.
What did that teach you?
It was amazing, honestly, because I think being somewhere so different to home, throwing yourself so in the deep end and seeing how people live really puts things in perspective. You know, they're not checking their emails. They're not rushing about ticking things off a to-do list. Seeing their pace of life really taught me how to slow down and the importance of slowing down. And that's something, that's probably one of the biggest things I took away from that trip.
So were you someone who had FOMO all the time, fear of missing out?
But yes, I would say to a certain extent. I very much like to be booked and busy. I definitely am a bit of a yes man, especially when it comes to my job. I like to say yes and not let anyone down. But like, that's not sustainable after a certain point.
Now, how long were you away for?
2 months, approximately.
2 months. And did you notice the difference in you from day one when you're going through airports, it's busy, it's mad, it's stimulating, to when you were coming back?
It definitely took a bit of time, and I would say even 2 months wasn't really enough to kind of solve burnout. And I think it took me a while being over there to kind of learn how to let things go. I was kind of treating the trip almost like another thing to throw myself into. So I was really planning my days chock-a-block, you know, trying to get as much done as I could, see as much as I could.
Had you got a number of boxes to tick? We have to go here, we've got to go there.
We've got to see the tunnels,
we've got to fire a Kalashnikov or whatever it might be.
That's it. And you kind of feel guilty if you're in a new place and you're not seeing the things that you should be seeing. But after a while, a couple of days on the beach, I learned to relax a little bit more.
All right. Now, how do you find yourself having returned? What's your work ethic like now?
It's difficult. I'm freelancing full time now, which in itself probably doesn't lend itself to burnout because you kind of have to hustle to be getting jobs. It's not something where these things are just going to come to you. But at the same time, I'm kind of in a position where I know that I will get a job at some point. And this time is about, you know, putting myself back together, essentially. So I'm not too stressed at the moment.
So you're not entirely fixed yet?
Not 100%. I'd say about 80% there.
All right, Sarah. Well, perhaps we can get some help from Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College in Dublin, who's listening in on the line. Brendan, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So do you have a definition of burnout?
Yes. Yeah, so burnout is a state of physical, emotional and mental exhaustion that is caused by chronic or prolonged stress stemming from work. And basically the demands exceed the resources the person has to cope with them. You know, the time, the energy, the supports, and this persistent sense of depletion. So like Sarah says, it's not just feeling tired or needing 2 weeks off. It's this persistent sense of being depleted that impacts on motivation and productivity. And even a person's sense of identity can be affected when the burnout becomes very intense.
Now, you were talking about the workplace and where your job burns you out. But there are people who are carers, for example, every day at home, and they know they're burnt out, but they don't have any choice but to carry on.
Yes. So, I mean, there's a number of factors with burnout. It can be largely attributable to work or sometimes the structure of work, the way work comes. There are also personal factors to do with, you know, how we manage ourselves, but also the fit can be bad. So maybe the fit between the person and the job can be bad. And this can lead to exhaustion and cynicism and detachment. And sometimes it is only fixable by doing a big reset. Sarah describes there, but as you point out, Pat, not everyone is able to do that, particularly those who are caring, caring for a family member or a loved one. And that's another big point, Pat. You can love your job and still be burned out from it.
And that business of self-care, you know, someone who's caring at home for a loved one, often they forget about self-care. Can you, kind of without going to Vietnam or Southeast Asia, can you fix yourself?
Yeah, to a degree you can, and it is important that we do that. So we set boundaries as best we can, take rest and take exercise. For family members who are caring, either, you know, for people with care, lots of children, the strategy is very much say yes when anybody offers to help. You know, as soon as someone offers to chip in, your answer is yes, please, thank you. And be sure to take those chances if and when they are given to you. For someone who's in a workplace, though, there are limits to how far self-care will get you. I mean, if you need to put on a sort of a psychological hard hat or an emotional suit of armor just to get through the day, the problem really isn't your emotions or you being burnt out. The problem is with the job and with the employer. And sometimes the only solution is either to address that or to get out.
Mm. Now, you say you could still, you know that you love your job and be burnt out. What do you do there where you don't want to give up the job you love, but equally, maybe you're not doing it as well as you could be doing it?
Well, the answer is you either try and fix the job you love, try and have better control over the work, or maybe you need to step away from it, wrenching though that may be. And sometimes, you know, the strategy Sarah describes is very interesting because travel reminds us there are other ways of living and other ways of doing the things we love rather than what has become a very particular, often a rigid, stressed out way of doing our job. So this reminder that the world is big, that people are very, very different, and there can be different, less stressful ways to approach the job. But that might require stepping away from it if the burnout is particularly intense.
And that's precisely what Sarah did. Stepped away. So going forward, Sarah, change of life?
Yeah, I think what Brendan said there, like knowing how to set better boundaries, kind of having an awareness of what's too much. That in itself is really helpful, and I think is something that I should take forward into any job I go to next. And that has been probably my biggest learning.
Mm. And what about your boyfriend? What did he learn?
Oh, hard to speak for him, but I would like to say that he feels similarly. I do think that the time away was very good for both of us, kind of being able to completely forget about a full inbox and seeing how people live differently was good for the soul.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.